Amen. And if you would, just lift your hands as we prepare to get into the Word of God. Thank God from the worship to the Word. Lord, we feel you, Lord. Speak now, Lord, through your Word. Your people are here, surrendered hearts. We lift our hands as a sign of surrender, Lord. We want to be surrendered to you in every aspect of our life. Speak to us through your Word. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our soul. Speak to our spirit. Let the church hear what the Lord says on today. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. As we navigate through this dark and fallen world, Lord, we can't do it without your Word. So we thank you, Lord, that we can worship, read your Word freely. What a blessing. We don't take it for granted. Holy Spirit, continue to rule, reign, and have your way in the midst of our service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles. I think you could even guess what book we're in. 1 Chronicles, amen. 1 Chronicles 29. It's good to see you all, and thank you so much. I just want to reiterate what Sister Kathy said about friends and family. It was truly a blessing to meet your friends and family and to be a part of such a great day here at the South Bay Abundant Life Church. And you all just stepped up, and the hospitality was incredible. Brother Raymond, the food was incredible. Oh, wow. Sister Caraway and the rest of the hostesses. I mean, I came in, you guys were finished cleaning up the kitchen. I was coming to do some work, you know. So, I mean, you guys were on it. I mean, I'm just so impressed from our greeters at the door. And the packages that you all put together, Sister Wanda, Sister Claudette, and you all. I mean, I just, yes. To everybody who, which is the whole church, had a hand in it. Thank you. The worship and praise team, and just leading us in the worship and just being a blessing. And thank you all. I think a church that loves people and loves God is attractive. I think church that serves God and serves its people is attractive. And, let's keep making disciples and planting seeds. So I want to thank all of you. If I forgot your name, you know, if I didn't mention your name, please forgive me. But you know my heart is there because you all have stepped up and did an awesome job. This is our family. I love coming here. I love you, family. I love being your pastor. I love pushing us into the presence of God so that we can build our temple, make disciples, and build the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So we are at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Look at verse 10. I'll do a quick review, and then we'll get right into today's lesson. But what I want to say even before... Well, let me read first. Let me go ahead and read. And you can remain seated so we can keep going. Verses 10 through 13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed be thou, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Somebody said amen. Amen. And I hope you're still praying that prayer during your prayer time. That is such a powerful prayer. It's changing my life. It's changing my attitude daily. And families, we're here and we're talking about growth. Remember, church is not a Sunday thing. It's what I do Monday through Saturday. Sunday, I come here to get refueled. But here's what I want you to understand, that you should be having that prayer time each and every morning. Like I said, I don't care if it's a minute. I don't care if it's a two minutes. Give God a little bit of time before you get out of the house and incorporate this prayer right here. And just recognize God for being the greatness.
Yes.
Starts off, God is the greatness.
Yes,
and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. It affects the way that I think. It affects the way that I live. It affects the way of how I communicate and interact with others. I don't worry about anything. I'm not afraid of anything because I went to the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty every morning. Even this morning, I went to him. Amen? And I'm constantly asking God for direction. So family, let's not just make this a Sunday thing. As long as we continue to pray and be on one accord and one mind, God will continue to move in our lives individually and collectively. So let's not just read it. Let's apply it. I'm talking every day. Give God a couple minutes every day and let it expand. Amen. So I want to encourage you just to keep praying that prayer every morning. And remember, before you eat, you're still fasting. So you incorporate this prayer with your fasting that you're already doing. Amen. It's doable. And so I encourage you to stay excited. As we finish this year out, let's finish strong.
Amen.
Let's finish strong. And here we are. We have this passage of scripture. Remember, David is on his deathbed. And this is his attitude. What a great attitude to have. We should have this every day, seeing as how he told us in a few chapters below that our days are just a shadow. Since we're living in the shade, the shadow. And James said it's a vapor, it's a mist. So this should be our attitude every day, because we really don't know what a day might bring. So here we are in the midst of this conversation. We heard David talking to his son, talking to the congregation. Now he's talking to God. We're privileged to hear his prayer. It's a model for prayer. It's a very powerful prayer. As I was reflecting on David, we talked a little bit about Solomon, but we didn't talk much about David. Ain't talking much about David, and to have a prayer like this with all that he's gone through, it's pretty incredible. So we have David, we have Solomon. David in Acts 13:22. Make a note of that. Matter of fact, let's turn there. Let's turn to Acts 13:22. I want to focus a little bit on David so we understand the backdrop on this prayer. Acts 13:22. And Brother Ivy, you know me, I'm going to be all over the place. So I appreciate you, Brother Ivy. Brother Ivy is keeping up with Pastor Boy. I'm all over the place. Bro, I told him last week, Brother Ivy, I don't know where I'm going to be. Just roll with me. Did I say Acts 13:22 and 23, Brother Ivy? I said Acts 13, amen?
Yes.
All right, now let me get there. Paul is talking to them and he's referring to Saul. In verse 22, we pick up the conversation. And Saul was just removed. We read that earlier this year, how obedience was better than sacrifice. He says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I want you to underline this, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. So we just heard David's prayer on his deathbed, but this is who David was. He was a man after God's own heart. What makes a man after God's own heart? How can we be man? And we talk about man as mankind, so that includes women as well. How can you be a woman after God's own heart? How can we as men be a man after God's own heart? Look at verse 23. Of this man's seed have God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Wow. That's some power right there. So through the seed of David, we have Jesus. When we get into the holiday season, we're going down the lineage and who begat who, and then this and that. It comes through David all the way, and then Christ is born. We'll touch on that next month. So this is David. We heard his prayer. We see that he was a man after God's own heart. Did you underline that? Okay. Now, let's look at a couple other scriptures. Because I wanted to find out a little bit more about David. How did he come to be a man after God's own heart? How can I, God, I want to be after your heart. I want to have a heart like yours. But it showed me right off that you don't have to be perfect to be a man after God's own heart. And you can have some issues,
yes.
But you can still be a man after God's own heart. You can go up and down,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still be a man after God's own heart. You can get into some crazy stuff. And God still say he was a man after my own heart. So what made him a man after God's own heart? Let's go to Samuel. Let's go to 2 Samuel 12. Are we at 2 Samuel 12?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
But let's start at verse 1. 12 and 1? Yeah, I'm all over the place. 2 Samuel 12 and 1. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. Underline that. Sometimes the Lord will send people your way. In 1 Chronicles 29 and 17, it talks about how God tries the heart. God will test your heart. And you determine if your heart is after God on how you respond to the sin in your life. That's where you determine where your heart is. So we do the comparison. Solomon had wisdom. He was smart. But he didn't respond to sin correctly. His heart was not with God's. He wanted to do his own thing. So you determine where your heart is with God when God tries your heart. When he shows you he sends someone, or you read that word, or you're in worship and he reminds you of something that went down that wasn't too cool.
Yes.
And you realize, wow, I got to get it together. Or Solomon said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that confess and forsake shall find mercy. Your response to sin determines where your heart is. So here we are. We pick up this conversation, and we know that David had some issues. And this is after he had slept with Bathsheba. He had an affair. No, let me call it what it was. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed. All right. And wanted to pretend that it didn't happen or cover it up. So what have you underlined? What happened? The Lord sent
Nathan to David.
So when people come to you and they're talking about maybe a part of your life that you're not comfortable with because it's covered with sin or you try to cover it up, don't get mad at the people. Uh-huh. Or say, don't shoot the messenger. Just think, maybe God sent them to me. When you sit down and you reflect, maybe God sent them. No, don't get it. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So even if you don't like what they're saying, it's still spiritual wickedness, the rulers in darkness in high places that you're wrestling with on your job when it's negative. But sometimes God sends people your way to get your attention.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then your heart is determined how you respond to that sin. That you're in, that I'm in. And we can't lie and say we don't have sin. We have some aspect. Whether it's just a thought that we shouldn't have thought about, amen?
Yes, yes,
yes. I mean, I got to confess that thought. How many ever drove on the freeway? Right. How many ever seen a freeway? Okay. Man, I tell you, my thoughts, I got to, God forgive me what I was thinking. So I can't say, I can't come in here and pretend I don't have sin. Maybe it's not just the blatant sin like David, but maybe it's the little thing. That secret thing that you know, nobody knows about it, but yeah, you got to confess that. And how you respond to that shows if you are a man or a woman after God's own heart.
Yes.
And this is what David was in, but his heart was in the right place. Let's look at 12 and 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. I love stories. I like this. Get excited about the word. Verse 2, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of its own meat and drink of its own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came, verse 4, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock out of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took, as opposed to taking what he had, he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. Verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that had done this thing shall surely die. Verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Oh, verse 7, somebody say amen. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Verse 7. And the Lord said to David, and Nathan said to David, you that man. You are that man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Look how God has to, God shouldn't have to remind us all the great things he's done for us.
Amen.
Folks, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said it's our reasonable service to live right. It's the least we can do is to live right for God. God shouldn't have to remind us what he had to remind him what he did for him. We should never have to go through this history lesson. We should always be praising and thanking God because of what he's done for us. We need to flip that script. God should never have to tell me all the things. Just think back on your life. Think back on last week. Think on this morning.
Oh, wow.
God should never have to remind me what what he's done for us. Verse 8, and he gave thee the master's house. And I gave thee the master's house and the master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Somebody in line, such and such. Just much more. That's another one of those terms. Like, remember the other one was this and that. We should live and do this or that. Ask God next time you pray, God, I want such and such. I don't know what I want. But I'll take such and such, amen? That's the word. Is that what the word says? What's your prayer? Lord, I want such and such. Verse 9, wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Boy, remember, this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man after God's own heart. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be his wife. Thus saith the Lord. Underline verse 11. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Wow. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto the neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, which means it's going to happen in your lifetime. It's going to be before your eyes. For this did in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Ah, boy, that's a whole nother message. We need a whole weekend retreat to go through all this, boy. But there are consequences for for our sins. Lord, have mercy. And it gets really deep with when it gets into the sins of his sons and his daughters and all that. But verse 13, this is what gives him a heart after God. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, see, that was it. I have sinned. Oh, man, it wasn't nothing. He didn't say it wasn't nothing. He didn't say, man, everybody does it. Oh, man, why are you sweating me with this? It's not like it ain't happened before. Oh, he had the right attitude. He said, you know what? I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thank God he covers the sin.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And because our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and because we're living in the grace and the power of God, we think that, oh, well, it's not too bad, or maybe we can get away with it. But there are consequences to our sin. You might get away with it 10 times, but that 11th time, you're going to have to deal with something.
Yes.
So my theory, my belief is just don't do it.
Yes.
Amen.
And
we talked a couple of months ago about the understanding, where you get the insight, you get the foreknowledge, you get the scene behind the scene. God allows you to see it. That's the wisdom. That's the understanding. That's the knowledge, where God lets you see all the way down the road.
Yes.
When you ask him to, God, how is this thing going to end? Mm-hmm. And if David would ask for that type of wisdom before he saw Bathsheba bathing, when he was on top of the roof, when he should have been at war, when he was out of position. Man, when we're out of position, we see things that we shouldn't see. Man, when we're out of position, we go to places that we shouldn't go. And we get caught up in things we don't need to be caught up in because we're out of position. David was way out of position and saw something he shouldn't have saw. And it affected his whole family. Man, that's a whole nother conversation for a men's retreat. But he did repent. It didn't cost him his life. And just because we get away with it 4 or 5 times doesn't mean that it's cool.
Yes.
But look what happened. Verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die.
Wow.
So he had got her pregnant too. Sounds like something on what, Housewives of was it L.A. or Atlanta, wherever they are? Something like that. One of them, all of them, huh? It's nothing new. The Bible is filled with us acting crazy. That's why we have to cut people some slack sometimes. It's nothing new under the sun. Because we want God to cut us that same slack, amen?
Amen.
God cut me some slack. So I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have did that. God cut me some slack. But it's a two-sided coin. Now the enemies have a reason to say, man, look at this man of God. And I think that's when I remember when Brother Raymond and I were initially talking about the pastors of L.A. I'm a pastor of South Bay. I get it. I'm not a pastor of L.A. I'm a pastor of South Bay. That rhymes anyway. But whatever. But initially when Brother Raymond and I, we talked about it, here it is. Howbeit, by this deed thou hast given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme, you know, God. Because you're raggedy living, because you're in all this sin, anybody who doesn't like God has a reason not to even like God more, because they're looking at you.
Yes, yes.
And that's what we don't want to be. God, help us not to be like that. The people on your job, they have a reason not to like God even more because of the way you're acting. You come in there cussing everybody out and acting crazy.
Yes.
With the Bible on your desk.
Yes. Yes.
Talking about you're going to start a noonday lunch Bible study. Hey, and that gives the enemies, don't make God look bad with our lives.
Yes.
Couples, don't make God look bad with our relationship with each other. Couples, let's not make God look bad with our relationship with each other. Our relationship is the only Bible some people will read. Yes. You on the job is the only Bible some people will see. And he said, look what you, because of you're acting all crazy and living raggedy. Look at all the enemies of God. Now you give them a reason to blaspheme God. All right, let's go to Psalms 51. So we're talking about the heart and what makes David, the prayer that he prayed, that God is, he's on his deathbed and all that he's been through, he's still able to say God is the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty, and everything in earth is yours. Paul said he was a man after God's own heart, although he committed some atrocious sins. Although I believe I was reading in the book of James and it said, he that's guilty of one is guilty of them all. So it might look atrocious, but the little ones we do, the little gossip we do, it's not that bad. Oh, to God, it's pretty bad. But here's David's heart. It's his confession and forgiveness of sin. What separates a man or a woman after God's own heart is how you respond to the sin in your life. Do you confess it and forsake it, and are you really sorry? Verse 1, Psalms 51 and 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. God, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness. Amen. Thank God it's according to his loving kindness and not according to what somebody else might say should happen to me.
Yes.
According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is David's heart. This is what he felt when he was finally aware of what he had done. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. God, I do have to deal with this. I acknowledge that. And against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. God, I know it. Whatever I got to deal with, God, I am sorry. And you judge fair and right. I'll deal with it. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceive me. Oh, he's breaking it all the way down, isn't he? Behold, thou desirest truth, underlying truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest. God, I'm struggling. God, I know I messed up. God, I need to get it right. God, I won't do it again.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is his heart. We get to see David's heart poured out on the page. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Underline all my iniquities. That's your prayer. Incorporate that in your prayer in the morning time too. Amen. That's verse 9 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, because I am jacked up right now. I thought I would add that. Just a real prayer. This is a man after God's own heart. This is what makes him. How do we respond? This whole series of knowing God. You have to know how to know God to know how to respond to God. When we blow it, when we mess up, whether it's blatant or the little thing, we still have to know how to respond to God correctly. I want to be known as a man after God's own heart. I want a clean heart. I want a right spirit within me. In the midst of my junk. And family, look at this. Despite of what's happened from our birth to now, all that in the middle, God can still see us as a man or a woman after his own heart. Yes. Now, that's good news. Amen. It's not based on your past. It's not based on your present. It's not based on your future. It's based on your heart. It always comes back to the heart. Yes. Do you want to be a man after God's own heart? Do you want to be a woman after God's own heart? Is this your testimony? Verse 11, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Come on now. You are. That's a cold place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Cast, to remove with force. Don't remove me from force away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. What could we do without the Holy Spirit of God? We couldn't function. Think about what you did before you were filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to go back there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back there.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to go back there.
No.
Lord, please don't turn me over to a reprobate mind. Don't just lead me to my own devices.
Yes.
And look at it. Restore unto me the joy. Underline joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's such a joy being saved and knowing that you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a joy.
Yes. Yes.
I'd like to just park there. We can park there and stay there. Mm-hmm. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit.
Yes.
Word free being translated in the in the Hebrew, as your generous spirit. God is a generous spirit. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. That's why we come in here and sing our praises, because we've been delivered. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Sometimes you hear people praising and they're loud and you say, don't take all that. I differ. I beg to differ. You just don't know the story. I tell how much time you got. How much time you got. You don't know what God's done for someone. And that praise and that worship is coming from the heart, man. It's just, we've had some dark days. We had some tough, in between now and here, boy, it's been some stuff that's gone on. And for God to renew in us a right spirit and put us in our right mind, give us reasonable health, and you think I'm going to come in here and be quiet? As God has delivered me and he has a generous spirit, and I'm going to come in here and be quiet? Hey, man, no, you just don't know. If you have it all together, just wait for those of us who are trying to get it together. Amen.
Yes.
Just be patient with us.
Yes.
Be long-suffering. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
The patience, long-suffering. Just be a little more patient with us. We're trying to get where you are.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, remember last week we talked about the Phariseeism, that Pharisaical spirit. Amen.
Yes.
They so righteous, they just ain't nobody on their level. They're so righteous, God isn't even on their level.
Yes, yes.
They didn't even recognize Jesus. He ain't on there. He was just this man.
Yes, uh-huh.
Just be patient with us. We're trying to get there. Oh, but I beg to differ. It takes all that.
Yes,
oh, I love the worship. I love the praise. I love to study his word. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice. Remember, we studied earlier in the year, obedience is better than sacrifice. So you can say he wants the obedience. He wants you to live right. The sacrifice is okay, but live right. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God, I'm so sorry. What am I tripping? How did I let this happen? God, I'm so sorry to break your heart. Verse 17 again, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. God wants your heart to be broken to the point where we say, God, I need you. God, I need to get my life together. God, I'm jacked up and without you, I can't make it. I need your spirit. I need a right spirit. I need you to restore the joy of thy salvation. How we felt when we first got saved, knowing that we were redeemed, we can feel like that all the time.
Yes.
That's the broken spirit and the contrite heart gets you there. That's David. That's what Solomon couldn't do. The Bible never talked. Although Solomon was wise, the wisest man that ever lived, his heart couldn't become contrite. He couldn't have a broken heart. He wanted to stay in his mess. as opposed to confess and forsake. Verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. He's saying, once you get your life right, then you sacrifice. That's when God's pleased. We want to come sacrifice and then live raggedy. We want to sacrifice on Sunday and live raggedy Monday through Saturday. God said, no, that's not it. God is saying, you sacrifice, you come and live right. And then what you do the rest of the time, I'm cool with that because I have your heart. Let's go back to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29 and 17. See, this is how we got there. I know when you're there, say amen. 29 and 17. I know also, my God, remember now, we saw all that David went through, just a glimpse. It was more, a lot more than that. We just saw a glimpse of some of the things he went through. He was a man after God's own heart. Verse 17, he says, I know also, my God, that thou triest, you test the heart. How does God know? How does David know? Because Nathan came and showed him his heart. And that's why he said he has pleasure in uprightness. God has pleasure in you and I living right. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy the people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. So it always comes back to your heart. And God is pleased when we live right. And in verse 17, it's not only that. He said, as for me and the uprightness of my heart, God is pleased when our heart is in the right place. And so what we do is not just for show, but it's actually who we are. When your heart is in the right place, it answers the question is what you do, who you really are. And those need to match up. Sometimes we do things. It's not really us. That's called a show. That's called playing church. Because I do things, but that's not. See, the heart is the motive behind the motives. What you do, why you did what you did when you did it.
Yes.
Before you even know why you did what you did when you was going to do it.
Amen.
That's the motives. I'm glad I got that on CD. I don't know if I can say that again. That's what separates the show from your heart being in the right place. And that's what he's saying in verse 17. And then in verse 18, he finally gets to his petition. So we have this model of prayer that he talks about God, a beautiful model of prayer. He hasn't asked God for anything. Up until that point, he hasn't asked God for anything. So it shows a model right now. When we're praying to God, we don't start off by asking God for anything. Can follow this model. He finally gets to asking God, which is incredible what he asks of God. But that's what we have to pick up next week. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what he asks for next week. Oh, what a word. Let us pray before we dismiss. Maybe someone's here and they want the opportunity and say, Pastor, I haven't even been saved yet. You're talking about giving God my heart as a Christian, but how about giving my heart to God as a non-believer? Pastor, I want to give God my heart. I want to be saved today. I want God to have my heart. And the word shows of David was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Got into stuff he shouldn't have been involved with. So, Pastor, you telling me after all the stuff I've done, God can forgive me? Absolutely. Just like he did for the rest of us. It's not based on what you did or what you didn't do. It's based on your heart. Do you want to give God your whole heart? So right now, if you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to give God my entire heart today. If that's you, I want you to elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, you know what? I've given God my heart, but then I took it back and started doing my own thing. And I'm involved in some stuff, but I see right now I need to give God my heart and surrender. I need to confess, forsake, and repent of the sin. Just like David, I want God to restore the joy of my salvation and create in me a right spirit. I want my spirit right again. We call that rededication. If you want to rededicate your life, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Say, Pastor, I want to get back close to God. That's you, elevate your hand for salvation, rededication. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home, and from the worship to the word, the love of the people, I want to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your people. We'd love for you to join us as we make disciples, as we build our temple and build the kingdom of God. Amen. We pray for anyone, if you're here, and you, again, for salvation, rededication, or membership. Elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Oh, Lord, as we come to you and we just thank you, Lord, that you've showed us that we got to get it right. We got to step our game up. We got to confess, forsake, and repent, Lord. We can be in right relationship with your. You want us to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You want us to humble ourselves before you that you might lift us up. That you might build us up into the men and women that you created us to be. That we'd stop wasting time being played like a pawn by the enemy. And that we would mature and be the men and women that you created us to be. So that we can affect and infect the dying world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you with this incredible body of believers here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. From the worship to the word to the fellowship, we feel you, Lord. We thank you for being here with us. We feel you guiding, leading, and directing us. Let us be lights and salt on our jobs, in our marriages, in our homes, interacting with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, at the grocery store, at the gym, wherever we might be, Lord, let our light shine that others might see the good works in us and glorify you in heaven. Let us not give the enemies any reason or occasion to blaspheme you because of our raggediness. Oh, we love you on today, Lord. Now, as only you can, go before us and go with us as we dismiss. Oh, we love you on today and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Our Wednesday night service, we will not have Wednesday night service because it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And we took a vote for those of us who attend on Wednesday night. I ain't going to put nobody on blast, but those of us who attend on Wednesday night. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. But we took a vote and we're going to spend time with our families and prepare for Thanksgiving. And we love you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed. Pray for us as we're praying for you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Truly, we have a lot to be thankful for. And if the Lord wills, we should live and do this. Are that. And we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Yeah, my son, he's on ESPN Thanksgiving Day. Cal State Fullerton, they play my cat. Really? Yeah. So I'll be out.